Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jim Mullins playing quarterback. I like that. I like it. I like it a lot. He's the quarterback of our team, Brock Plyman. Yours truly, Pete on Sports. Great to be with you on a Monday. It's a victory Monday. Hallelujah. Same question applies after the Dallas game the first time around. Can they handle it? Are they mature enough to handle it? Victory Monday is brought to you by your D.C. local Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Of course, we're brought to you by the good folks at BetQL. You can bet smarter, beat the odds, beat your man. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Get the Monday night numbers for tonight's contest. And get the Thanksgiving Day feast numbers for Washington and Dallas. All right, Chris in Hyattsville says on Twitter about Chase Young. This is the beauty about Twitter, is people can write out their thoughts, make them more cogently maybe. He says that when evaluating Chase, you have to consider what needs were and what options they had to justify taking a defensive end with the number two pick. His contributions have to outweigh who the Washington football team could have taken. Well, let's take a couple of things into consideration here. Many people felt that Chase Young was the number one overall player in the entire draft, and you had a chance to get him at number two. A lot of people thought he was number one, as Clubber Lang said. That means I am the best. The comparisons that many people draw to Chase Young, Julius Peppers. And in five of Julius Peppers' first six games, he had zero sacks. And in fact, in his first season where he finished the season with 12, six of those came in two games. So in five of his first six games, he didn't have a sack. Chase Young had 2.5 in his first two games. Didn't play in the third. Had five tackles in the win over Dallas. In fact, six total, five solos. Which is really difficult for a guy in his position to have solo tackles. Had a forced fumble in the opener. Had a forced fumble in a game yesterday. Impacted winning. They won both of those games. So when we're looking at the impact, are we looking at him helping impact the fact that Jonathan Allen and Tim Settle and Ryan Kerrigan and Montez Sweat, Cameron Curl coming off the edge of the safety blitz are all getting sacks? He's certainly contributing to it. There's no question about that. So we're in such a self-gratification, he's got to be this star player sacking the quarterback and dancing out there. I mean, yesterday, I'm hearing, oh, there's Chase Young. Can't wait to see Chase Young's sack dance. We don't care about Chase Young's sack dance. We don't care. We just want him to help the team win. They won a game yesterday. Whether he sacks the quarterback or not, he's impacting other guys sacking the quarterback. When you have to double-team and sometimes triple-team somebody, that's opening up lanes for other people. And the defense, that's what happened yesterday. Look at the production all the way across the board yesterday. Young with a pass defended, Young with a forced fumble. I mentioned the guys that were getting sacks. So let's evaluate who else was available. At the beginning of the season, you were still giving Dwayne Haskins an opportunity to play. So had you been number one, you still may have taken Joe Burrow based on what we think this staff was thinking at that time. But he wasn't available. So let's look at who was. Jeff Okuda, We thought he was going to be an elite-level corner coming out of Ohio State. He has struggled a little bit in his first year. Andrew Thomas was benched at one point by the Giants. Tua Tagovailoa was benched in the fourth quarter of a game yesterday by the Miami Dolphins. And then here comes the king. Here he comes. The man from Oregon. That drab t-shirt Joe Miller and myself were watching late at night on a Saturday night. Here he comes, Justin Herbert. And he's played well individually, but his Chargers team has found inexplicable ways to lose games. And they have the exact same win total as Washington. That would be three. That would be three. Isaiah Simmons has struggled a little bit in Arizona. He's playing a little bit better now. But, you know, you're talking about people at number two. You weren't going to draft Mekhi Becton up there. You weren't going to draft Jedrick Wills up there, who could have helped you at tackle. You weren't going to draft Henry Ruggs up there at two. So maybe all of this, based on the way Chris in Hyattsville and Danny from Georgetown may look at this, oh, you could have traded down and maybe gotten someone else down there that could have impacted your team. It's possible. You know, a guy like Mekhi Becton or Wills could have been helping you tackle at this point. It's possible. I mean, people thought Andrew Thomas would be good. He got benched at one point by the Giants. He was so bad. So the point is it's still way too early to evaluate and compare. I mean, if you would have thought Justin Herbert would be this good, also keep in mind who Justin Herbert's playing with. He's got significant skill at the wide receiver position. He's got significant skill at the wide receiver position. He wasn't going to have that early in the season, certainly here. Mr. Allen, Mr. Williams. I mean, you've got at least two elite receivers. You got a better than average tight end. I mean, Chargers have some people on offense. They've got some people on offense. So Herbert has been able to take advantage of that and play well because he's got skill. He's got the arm. He's got the moxie. He's got everything that you're looking for in a potential prospect. Certainly has size, certainly has arm. So if we compare it, as Chris wanted to, you have to look at all the people that were potentially available. Burrow wasn't available, and that was the only guy. The only guy you were going to take over Chase Young. Because two of the guys within the top five pick behind him have already been benched at one point. One didn't start the season, and the other, and now was benched in a game for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the fourth quarter of a game on the road. So when you want to compare who else could have been picked there, as Chris wanted to, then it doesn't necessarily add up to not picking Chase Young. There's nobody else you could have picked there in hindsight with the potential of say, Herbert, because of how he's played, because a quarterback can impact the game directly. He's impacting the game directly because the football is in his hands. It is snapped to him every single play unless somebody runs a wildcat play. The quarterback gets the ball every single play on offense. So he has the chance to make a great impact. Burrow was the only guy you would consider taking over Chase Young. And as I said, many people thought Chase the number one guy in this whole draft. Bengals needed a quarterback, so they were going to take Burrow no matter what. So to Chris's point, and that's why I countered this way, he wanted to compare what else was available around him. Okuda wouldn't have certainly made the impact. He struggled in Detroit. Maybe that's a product of their defense being, you know, suspect overall. It's a possibility. Andrew Thomas, benched at one point in New York, was having a terrible season early for them. So if your response is, well, they need time. Well, Chase Young deserves that time on the pro level to expand his skill set too. And like I said, the comparison many had was Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers in his first eight games had two games of three sacks and then had no sacks in any of the other games. Didn't have any sacks in the other games. Chase came right out the box and had 2.5 in the first two games and got hurt. And couldn't play in the third game in Cleveland. So, I mean, I don't see the reason for the harsh criticism of Chase Young after 10 games in a professional football uniform. I just don't see it. Doesn't add up to me. Doesn't add up with anybody else that's playing, you know, the other positions. I mean, Tua came in his first start, threw for 98 yards. They won the game because they had a spectacular special teams play, a big defensive play. And did he play better in his next start? Of course. But then yesterday he got benched in the fourth quarter. So for everybody going out there, oh, they, you know, it could have been Tua time. And yeah, well, yeah, it could have been. It could have been. But remember, they you know, they wanted to start Ryan Fitzpatrick at the beginning of the season. And they did. And Ryan Fitzpatrick had actually won two games in a row when they took him out, which was kind of weird. But that's when you want a quarterback to take over. You want him to take over when it's successful and when the team is playing well, so he's got a fighting chance to be good. And that's why, you know, I didn't necessarily mind the timing of Brian Flores. But then here's the big question. And obviously him and Jalen Hurts picked each other up at times at Alabama. So how does Tua handle that? You know, your coach, you know, wasn't coddling you. He took you out. Said, you're not playing well. I'm going to put somebody else in. Just like they would at some other position. Let's see how Tua handles that in the coming weeks now for Miami. Does it get his attention? Does it make him work even harder? Because I'm not sure you can get Tua to do that. His work traits are terrific. It's because of Herbert's play all of a sudden that everybody wants to have revisionist history here. And there wasn't a person on planet Earth that evaluates drafts, people in player development departments, college personnel departments in the NFL. No one was going to have Justin Herbert ahead of Chase Young. No one. And like I said, many people thought Chase was the number one overall guy in the entire draft. Yeah, we hold him to a high standard because he's the number two pick. So does he. Would he love to get to the quarterback? Absolutely. Every snap, he'd love to. But when you're having to battle three dudes at times, it's not going to happen that way. So that's how I see it with Chase Young. That's my evidence to back it up, Your Honor. 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener line. One more segment for you to get involved. And Chris Miles joins us at the bottom of the hour. Going to talk the drama with John Wall over the weekend that started to develop with alleged trade talks last week with Houston. And then Tommy Shepard said, we're building around Bradley Beal. Then they gave Davis Bertans $80 million. All that coming up at the bottom with Chris Miles right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Wave of tweets. Said he's not going to trade. There's no plans to trade John Wall at this time, but he's also spoken to Bradley Beal. Okay, so we can take a deep breath. We can decompress a little bit and get excited for NBA basketball. A month away, getting underway on December the 22nd. Play-in spots for the final playoff berths. I kind of like that. Give some teams a little more incentive to keep playing at the end of the season. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's not affecting the top clubs anyway. So give those teams something to compete for at the end of the season. Shout out to all of you listening on radio.com today, whether you're in Crisfield, Maryland, California, Maryland, or the state of California. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday afternoon. Let's go back to the AAA Always On Call listener line at 1-800-636-1067. Josh is in Alexandria. Josh, you're on 1067 The Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. I like to say about Chase Young, you know, his motor's running pretty – his motor's running good right now. You know what I mean? He's at that point right now in his career where he's still learning. You know what I mean? He's starting learning how to adjust to NFL gameplay. So
appreciate the call, Josh. There's no question. Look, I mean, you can't you look at the guys that Larry Johnson coached at Ohio State. They've all proven to be very solid pros. You'll take the Boses. And, you know, Chase has got to – I think there's no question. If you look at how he rushes – and his coaches have told him this. I mean, he's got to diversify a little bit. He can't just, you know, overpower people. You're not going to overpower every offensive tackle in the NFL. These are the elite-level guys. You know, you're going to have to use some different techniques. Spins, punches, rolls, you know, swim moves. I mean, you got to be able to use all of it. Plus, you got to get Jack Del Rio to scheme you up a little bit too. You know, use some stunts with other people, and that's all of that is a process. They had no time in the summer besides getting together on Zoom. Oh, let's get together on a Zoom meeting and show you how to rush the passer. Yeah, we're going to do it this way. No, I mean, you got to be on the field and doing it. And if anything, Jack Del Rio has kept things as basic in some cases as possible and as simple as possible right now because they just don't have the time to install a lot of exotic stuff right now. You know, you're seeing them, and we're seeing a little bit more. We're seeing the Cam Curl stuff up the line of scrimmage here be more effective, and they continue to add to it, because as time goes on, you can eventually do that. But they had no time leading up to the season to get a lot of this work done. You know, Mark Sweet on Twitter, Ryan Kerrigan's a very good football player, but his limited snaps, he's producing, and Chase is absolutely helping with that. Would agree with that. He is helping other players get better. That's ultimately what we're hoping for. Brad Ripito, my man Brad out there, said, what did you think of Adam Archuleta as the color man? Adam's been doing college games for CBS College Sports, so in comparison to an Aqib Talib who did the game in Detroit last week, Adam has had opportunity to practice, essentially, and improve as a broadcaster, doing some college games over on CBS College Sports. I didn't think he was bad yesterday, but you can't call him Tony McLaurin. Can't do that. You got to call him Terry McLaurin. And that's where, I mean, those are mistakes that guys are going to make. You know, that happens. You know, I mean, I heard, you know, when Washington played Cleveland, you know, a guy called Kevin Stefanski, Greg Stefanski. I mean, yeah, that stuff happens. You know, as a broadcaster, I would hate saying that, and I'd beat myself up about it if I said it. But I didn't think Archuleta was bad. I think he's got potential to stick around for a while on the NFL level. So he breaks down the game fine. You know, this week, Dallas now up next. If you watched any of the Dallas-Minnesota game, Logan Paulson and I were watching it yesterday afternoon. I saw an engaged Dallas team. I saw a defense that certainly has better personnel this time around than they did the first time against Washington. So it'll be fascinating to see how the matchup changes this time around. And I don't care how good Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are on the outside. You have got to take away the run. The game plan this week, plain and simple, has got to be to eliminate the run game as good as you possibly can. If Dallas gets the run game going, then you're not putting any pressure on Andy Dalton to win the game at that point. And if they can run the football effectively, then we're going to be greatly disappointed, I think, on Thursday afternoon. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to break this one down. This game comes down to, A, Washington's ability to move the football themselves. When you get in plus territory, you've got to convert and finish drives. And you've got to stop the run. You've got to stop the Cowboys from running the football. I mean, watching them against Minnesota yesterday, Minnesota in those terrible color rush uniforms with the gold. There's no gold in Minnesota's uniforms. It's always been that purple and white, basically, with some black trim through the years. But yesterday, you know, I watched, you know, Zeke break a couple of nice runs. Tony Pollard had the explosive run in the second half. And when the running game is going, then that allows CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper to, in some cases, be locked up in single coverage. You know, Andy Dalton threw three touchdown passes yesterday. Zeke ran for 100. Pollard scored on a 42-yard run. That opens things up. You know, I mean, Dalton Schultz, the tight end, I mean, all the injuries they've had at that position, you know, he hasn't been bad. Zeke caught a ball out of the backfield for a score. So, you know, they've tried to expand the package a little bit there as Andy Dalton has gotten back healthy again into the lineup. And like I said, I mean, the catch by Lamb yesterday was ridiculous. He's a good receiver. He's going to be a star. I really do. I mean, Dak gets back healthy for them. Those two are going to have a lot of great days together for the Dallas Cowboys. It's just going to take some time for them to gel and get that chemistry together. And unfortunately, with Dak's injury, that has been affected. But CeeDee gave you an idea yesterday of why people think he can be an electrifying receiver in the game. Adam Thielen, by the way, from Minnesota, also made a ridiculous play, and so did Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's a good player. Good player. Kirk Cousins has got some weapons there in Minnesota. He's got a solid running game. He's got two great guys on the outside. Cook can also catch the ball. He's got Kyle Rudolph, a tight end, and Irv Smith. I mean, there are some weapons. I put that a little bit on Mike Zimmer and the offensive game plan because they should be a lot more productive than they even are. Kirk had a fumble yesterday, which killed him on a drive. But, you know, that's going to happen, though. It's part of the game. 1-800-636-1067. Tommy Shepard says he's got no plans at this time to trade John Wall. Chris Miles, 1067 The Fan and NBA TV, joins us next. Welcome back. Pete on Sports until 6. J.P. Finley at 4. Tom Lavero at 5. We'll dive back into the Washington win over the Bengals. And, of course, short week, Cowboys coming up on Thursday. Just like the old days, the winner's in first place with 4 wins. All right. Get excited. We were excited over the weekend. Wizards Twitter was a flutter over the weekend. Not because Davis Bertans signed for $80 million, but because there was the potential for John Wall wanting out here in Washington. To talk about it now, of course, NBA TV and 106.7 The Fan Zone, Chris Miles. Chris, appreciate some time here on a Monday afternoon. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing much better now that we've gotten through the draft and a little bit of free agency, and we can start focusing on the next season for all these teams.
Absolutely, my friend. We're a month away from seeing real NBA action. Again, seems like we just ended a short time ago. Tommy Shepard called the fire department. He put out the fire today. He said, at least for right now, there are no plans to trade John Wall, and that he has spoken with Bradley Beal. We're eager, fans are eager, Chris, to see these two play together again. And if we do see them a month from now playing together, in your mind, what are we going to see?
Well, I think the difference will be when John went out, and I want to say it's been 2.5 or 3 years, however you want to look at it, I'll say 3 years. Brad wasn't the complete player that he is now. He wasn't a two-time All-Star, and he wasn't a guy giving you 30 a game. So I think if Brad is still efficient in scoring in that way, I think John may have to take a back seat to some of the ball handling. But knowing John, I think that's going to be a battle. To try to see John take a backseat to Brad. So I think John needs to come in and try to lead the league in assists and not try to get 20 to 25 a game. If that John Wall comes back, then I think the Wizards will absolutely, if healthy, be a playoff team this year.
You know, there's no question, and we know how fragile players' egos are. I'm sure it stung John a little bit to hear Tommy Shepard say, we are building around Bradley Beal. But you just made the point. The reason why Tommy said that is because his man was the second leading scorer in the NBA last year. And when you think about it, the supporting cast was not great at times. So this was a guy that was making his offense without a lot of assistance out there. You know, John has always struck me as a guy that, you know, like every other NBA player, they want to be the best guy they can be. And, yes, their ego is a little bit fragile. And I think that's that was a jolt for John. You know the principles involved here. Is this something you think John can get over, or will Tommy end up maybe having to move him?
Knowing John Wall, I think it was the rhetoric of minutes restriction. I think saying that John won't play 30 minutes a game, that they're building around Brad. I think those words, I don't know if Tommy Shepard said that to John Wall first. And knowing John as a human, he's not the type to put up with a lot, and he does have a big ego. I knew that from the first time I interviewed him, and he asked me my name, and I go, Chris Miles. And he's like, either Chris Millen or Chris Miles, y'all need to get y'all stuff together over there. What's happening? Like, that's just the kind of person he is. He doesn't bite his tongue. So, in knowing that, I could see him being extremely angry if Tommy Shepard didn't talk to him first about the minutes restriction, about the narrative that they're building this team around Brad. So I think those things could have led to him being a bit defensive. But I also know that John is a competitive basketball player in the sense that, you know, shot clock running down, he's going to go get the ball. He's going to take the shot, make or miss. He's not the type that's going to back down. And I think we saw that in this situation as far as free agency and trades are concerned.
Do you think John can see himself as still being considered an elite player if he does it first as a distributor this coming year as opposed to a scorer? Because with what they have brought in around him now as opposed to what was here when he was healthy before, he still has the chance, Chris, to be an elite playmaker if he wants to do that. And I still think there's enough spotlight out there to satisfy his ego from that standpoint.
Well, here's the crazy part. When John was at his peak, if you want to say it's the 2016-2017 season, if you want to say it's that series against the Celtics that went to seven games, where he hit that big shot in game six, if you want to say it's any of those years, you know, his best games were the ones where he had 18 to 20 points, but 13, 14, 15 assists. I mean, that's really where he became one of those players where we had the discussion, is this the best real point guard in the NBA? Is this the best point guard in the Eastern Conference? That was the narrative. And I think for him to get back into that discussion, it has to be the assist. And that's going to be a bit difficult because that means he's taking the ball out of Brad's hands. That means a guy like Troy Brown, who's supposed to come in as a backup point guard, is going to have to take a further seat back. And so these are things that, as far as the chemistry is concerned, John says it's wolf season. You know, when he's on the court, he's not coming to play half his game. He's going all in. So it is going to be very interesting when they get back on that court to see how things play out.
You spent a lot of time around a lot of NBA personalities. We all know, you know, what their lives encompass and some of the circles that they run in and things of that nature. Fact or fiction on the gang sign stuff, and do you think it really had a, quote, negative effect or drastic effect on people within the organization here? Because, I mean, you know, John's not the first guy to do this, and as far as I know, John shows up for work all the time when he's healthy to play. John gives me 100% every night that he's out on the court, and quite frankly, that's all I care about as a fan who buys a ticket to watch John Wall play. What he does with his personal life and his own time, that's his deal. Do you think it was really that big a deal as some folks were trying to make it last week?
Well, that's very loaded in this sense. One, he does it on the court all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if the organization had a problem with it before, it should have been a problem when he was averaging 20 and 13 and doing it on the court. Okay. So what I do understand is that the organization did have a problem with it, but if they have a problem with it now, they should have had a problem with it then. I think the second part of that is that he was not wearing a mask. It was in a situation where there was a lot of people indoors, and there's a global pandemic. For as your team leader, as someone you're paying $200 million to, that's not something you want to see. To also get that aspect of it, the third part of it is you'll never see that from Bradley Beal. Okay, Bradley Beal is, I'm in the gym. That's the video you're going to see of Brad with his kids or with his wife. So I think that was a lot of the narrative, but, you know, not to defend John on this, but he lost his mother. He just had a kid. I know that he's going through a lot, and he hasn't played the game he loves in the last 2 years. So not that those are excuses, but I think that's part of the equation.
No, there's no question. I mean, I think we could debate the mental health of a lot of these guys after, especially the ones that just played in this bubble thing down in Orlando, and what they went through to pull that off. That was extraordinary to me. And I'm eager to see, Chris, in a month from now, we're not going to be in that bubble in Orlando. I'm going to be interested to see how we pull this off now with everybody kind of sprinkling back to their individual franchises. I mean, I think we're headed for a fascinating place a month from now. Do you think we do get this off on time a month from now with a regular season scheduled to start on December 22nd?
Now, that's a great question, and I say that to you with inside information because this time last week I was talking to Commissioner Adam Silver about this very topic. We had a one-on-one interview on our show, and it's complicated, but it's simple, right? It's complicated, and there's so many moving parts, but Adam Silver and the NBA, they have not put out the schedule yet. You know, people are almost overlooking this. The schedule comes out December 1st because they're still trying to figure out what they can and cannot do, how they're going to limit travel in the first half of the season. Now, that's just the first half of the schedule. The second half of the NBA schedule is not going to come out until we have more information about the vaccine. So what they're hoping is that the first half of the schedule, you know, you'll get teams to kind of play within their region. That's another reason the Toronto Raptors are moving to Tampa Bay. For this upcoming season, and it's less travel, teams closer to home, being with their families to kind of, you know, help with that mental health burden. Then you get to the second half of the season, hopefully there's a vaccine, the players get it, and then you can have what you would call a more typical schedule. So it's a lot of it, it's up in the air, but the NBA is trying their best to make sure that player safety is paramount. Also, there's time that if you need to postpone or cancel games like the NFL or college football, that the schedule isn't out yet, that you have time to do that as well. Those are all factors in the equation that I think they're prepared for.
Chris, I'll let you out on this. Thoughts on what Washington did, obviously, in free agency, bringing Anthony Gill back from Europe, Avia in the draft, along with Cassius Winston, and obviously Bertans comes back for $80 million in 5 years. Thoughts on the way Tommy Shepard navigated the draft and the weekend here for Washington?
Well, okay, let's start with Cassius because it's real simple with that. If the Wizards, if John Wall's healthy and Troy Brown progresses, and this is the roster – you're not worried about him. He's like an insurance policy that hopefully if something happens, he's good enough to step in and play. But you hope the season goes well enough where you're not really concerned with him, okay? That's number one. Denny Avia is essentially redundant in the sense of Rui Hachimura plays that position. But for the first time in a long time, the best player available was sitting there for the Wizards at nine. So while they had other needs, outside shooting is one. I thought Nesmith from Vanderbilt, who went to the Celtics, would have been a good pick there. But I think Avia was the best player available. He's the guy that's played most recently. I mean, we saw him playing in the EuroLeague in, what was it, May or June? So I just think he's a guy that he's a basketball player. I know that sounds, you know he can deliver on the court. The skill set, you wonder, can he shoot at the NBA level? I actually had a get-to-know series with a bunch of different scouts, and one was David Black, former coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who's an international scout now, and he said Avia reminds him of Detlef Schrempf. So if he can come in and eventually have a career like Detlef Schrempf at the small forward position for the Wizards, I think that's a home run pick.
Well, it's good. I mean, the things, when you watch the tape on him, you know, he can do a lot of things in the front court that guys here right now can't necessarily. So if he can adapt to the NBA game, and there's going to be a time for him to try and do that, as you mentioned, you know, shooting over there and shooting over here with the elite defense you'll see over here, you know, those are two different things. But he certainly, as you mentioned, the best player in the draft at that point fell to them because there were a lot of people, Chris, that had him as high as four, maybe five, and Washington is very, you know, very few times found themselves with that opportunity. So we'll look forward to see how he fits in here. Chris, appreciate you taking some time for us on a Monday, my man.
Yep, I just want to add one caveat, though. In this draft, I think those picks 10 through 15, I think a lot of those guys that got picked there, that as they got taken, I thought that they could end up being better. But as a prospect at number nine, I think Denny right now is more ready for the NBA than those players.
No, you're right. You're right. Good point there. Chris, appreciate the time today, my man. Have a good one.
Thanks for having me.
You got us. Chris Miles enlightening us here from NBA TV and, of course, a host here at 106.7 The Fan. We'll take some of your calls, your reaction to that. And Tommy Shepard saying right now, no plans to trade John Wall as of this time. 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us here on the AAA Always On Call listener line on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wave of tweets. Said he's not going to trade. There's no plans to trade John Wall at this time. Said he's also spoken to Bradley Beal. Okay, so we can take a deep breath. We can decompress a little bit and get excited for NBA basketball. A month away, getting underway on December the 22nd. Play-in spots for the final playoff berths. I kind of like that. Give some teams a little more incentive to keep playing at the end of the season. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's not affecting the top clubs anyway. So give those teams something to compete for at the end of the season. Shout out to all of you listening on radio.com today, whether you're in Crisfield, Maryland, California, Maryland, or the state of California. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday afternoon. Let's go back to the AAA Always On Call listener line at 1-800-636-1067. Josh is in Alexandria. Josh, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. I like to say about Chase Young, you know, his motor's running good right now. You know what I mean? He's at that point right now in his career where he's still learning. You know what I mean? He's starting learning how to adjust to NFL gameplay. So
appreciate the call, Josh. There's no question. Look, I mean, you can't. And look, I mean, you look at the guys that Larry Johnson coached at Ohio State. They've all proven to be very solid pros. You'll take the Boses. And, you know, Chase has got to, I think there's no question, if you look at how he rushes, and his coaches have told him this, I mean, he's got to diversify a little bit. He can't just, you know, overpower people. You're not going to overpower every offensive tackle in the NFL. These are the elite level guys. You know, you're going to have to use some different techniques, spins, punches, rolls, you know, swim moves. I mean, you got to be able to use all of it. Plus, you got to get Jack Del Rio to scheme you up a little bit too. You know, use some stunts with other people, and that's all of that is a process. They had no time in the summer besides getting together on Zoom. Oh, let's get together on a Zoom meeting and show you how to rush the passer. Yeah, we're going to do it this way. No, I mean, you got to be on the field and doing it. And if anything, Jack Del Rio has kept things as basic in some cases as possible and as simple as possible right now because they just don't have the time to install a lot of exotic stuff right now. You know, you're seeing them, and we're seeing a little bit more. We're seeing the Cam Curl stuff up the line of scrimmage here be more effective, and they continue to add to it, because as time goes on, you can eventually do that. But they had no time leading up to the season to get a lot of this work done. You know, Mark Sweet on Twitter, Ryan Kerrigan's a very good football player, but his limited snaps, he's producing, and Chase is absolutely helping with that. I would agree with that. He is helping other players get better. That's ultimately what we're hoping for. Brad Ripito, my man Brad out there, said, what did you think of Adam Archuleta as the color man? Adam's been doing college games for CBS College Sports. So in comparison to an Aqib Talib who did the game in Detroit last week, Adam has had opportunity to practice, essentially, and improve as a broadcaster, doing some college games over on CBS College Sports. I didn't think he was bad yesterday, but you can't call him Tony McLaurin. Can't do that. You got to call him Terry McLaurin. And that's where, I mean, those are mistakes that guys are going to make. You know, that happens. You know, I mean, I heard, you know, when Washington played Cleveland, you know, a guy called Kevin Stefanski, Greg Stefanski. I mean, yeah, that stuff happens. You know, as a broadcaster, I would hate saying that, and I'd beat myself up about it if I said it. But I didn't think Archuleta was bad. I think he's got potential to stick around for a while on the NFL level. So he breaks down the game fine. You know, this week, Dallas now up next. If you watched any of the Dallas-Minnesota game, Logan Paulson and I were watching it yesterday afternoon. I saw an engaged Dallas team. I saw a defense that certainly has better personnel this time around than they did the first time against Washington. So it'll be fascinating to see how the matchup changes this time around. And I don't care how good Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are on the outside. You have got to take away the run. The game plan this week, plain and simple, has got to be to eliminate the run game as good as you possibly can. If Dallas gets the run game going, then you're not putting any pressure on Andy Dalton to win the game at that point. And if they can run the football effectively, then we're going to be greatly disappointed, I think, on Thursday afternoon. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to break this one down. This game comes down to, A, Washington's ability to move the football themselves. When you get in plus territory, you've got to convert and finish drives. And you've got to stop the run. You've got to stop the Cowboys from running the football. I mean, watching them against Minnesota yesterday, Minnesota in those terrible color rush uniforms with the gold. There's no gold in Minnesota's uniforms. It's always been that purple and white, basically, with some black trim through the years. But yesterday, you know, I watched, you know, Zeke break a couple of nice runs. Tony Pollard had the explosive run in the second half. And when the running game is going, then that allows CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper to, in some cases, be locked up in single coverage. You know, Andy Dalton threw three touchdown passes yesterday. Zeke ran for 100. Pollard scored on a 42-yard run. That opens things up. You know, I mean, Dalton Schultz, the tight end, you know, all the injuries they've had at that position, you know, he hasn't been bad. Zeke caught a ball out of the backfield for a score. So, you know, they've tried to expand the package a little bit there as Andy Dalton has gotten back healthy again into the lineup. And like I said, I mean, the catch by Lamb yesterday was ridiculous. He's a good receiver. He's going to be a star. I really do. I mean, Dak gets back healthy for them. Those two are going to have a lot of great days together for the Dallas Cowboys. It's just going to take some time for them to gel and get that chemistry together. And unfortunately, with Dak's injury, that has been affected. But CD gave you an idea yesterday of why people think he can be an electrifying receiver in the game. Adam Thielen, by the way, from Minnesota, also made a ridiculous play, and so did Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's a good player. Good player. Kirk Cousins has got some weapons there in Minnesota. He's got a solid running game. He's got two great guys on the outside. Cook can also catch the ball. He's got Kyle Rudolph at tight end and Irv Smith. I mean, there are some weapons. I put that a little bit on Mike Zimmer and the offensive game plan because they should be a lot more productive than they even are. Kirk had a fumble yesterday, which killed him on a drive. But, you know, that's going to happen, though. It's part of the game. 1-800-636-1067. Tommy Shepard says he's got no plans at this time to trade John Wall. Chris Miles, 1067 The Fan and NBA TV, joins us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.